Just on behalf of the Waddle family, I would just like to welcome all who have come to join with them for this service of thanksgiving for the life of Mr. Don Waddell. And at the very outset this afternoon, we do acknowledge that God is sovereign in life and in death. We say with Job, "The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Just a few announcements I'd like to leave with you. Do make sure, please, that your mobile phone is switched off or on silent during the service. Do remember that, please. Immediately after the service here in the church, the family will be remaining to approximately 2:30 to 2:45, whatever, for tea and for fellowship. So we would encourage as many as possible just to stay behind and fellowship with them here. After the service, the coffin will be carried out to the hearse, and then the coffin bearers will come straight in, and there will be tea served for everyone in the congregation here. So do stay behind and have a time of fellowship with the Waddle family. So do remember that. And then after the tea, we'll be travelling up to the Temple Presbyterian Church graveyard for the committal. And again, we would encourage as many as possible to join with the family there. Can I say the service is being recorded, and the family have asked later on that the service would be put on sermon audio on the worldwide internet. This is for the benefit of family members and friends and relatives who are living abroad, that they too might be able to just share in the funeral service. Now, on behalf of the session, the committee and congregation of Market Hill Free Presbyterian Church, and indeed all who have gathered here today, wish to express our sincere sympathy to the Waddle family. We sympathise and pray for Don's wife, Margaret, today, for Don's children, for Derek and Carol, for his daughter, also Ruth, and son-in-law, Leslie. We sympathise and pray for the grandchildren, Hannah and Bethany, for Don's sister, Frances, and his brother-in-law, David and Billy, and for his niece and nephew, Valerie and Robert. Indeed, to all the wider circle of family members and friends, both at home and abroad, we do assure you all today of our prayers, of our sympathy and our condolences. And we do pray that you will know God's peace, that you will know God's presence, that you will know God's comfort in a mighty way. And we do pray that God will fill the vacant chair with his presence. And we pray that God will give you the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness in your time of loss and in your time of bereavement. The family have asked me to express thanks on their behalf to a number of folk who have been a great blessing and help to them in their time of need. A special thanks to the doctors and staff of Willowbank Surgery up in Keady, and the district nurses there. Thanks also to the staff of Cheever's Chemist in Keady, to the staff of Craigavon Hospital for their care of Dawn during his earlier stay in hospital, and then also on Sunday and the early hours of Monday morning. And a special word of thanks to all the neighbours and friends who have called at the home during Dawn's illness, all who have come during the week. Your presence has been deeply appreciated by the entire family, and it has been a great source of help and encouragement to them at this particular time. A word of thanks also to the funeral directors, Mr. Kenny Cheevers and company, today for their help and their guidance and wisdom for all the plans for the funeral service. To your organist, Mrs. Betty Spratt, and pianist, Mrs. Sharon Hopps, for accompanying us today in our singing. A word of thanks also to the ladies of the church for helping with the catering arrangements, which will follow immediately after the service, and also to the PSNI for traffic duties during the funeral service today on the way to the committal. Now, Don was born on the 16th of November 1936. He just recently celebrated his 75th birthday. His parents were William and Sissy Waddle. He was born at the family home at Drumlarg, just outside the town of Keady. His full name is William Samuel, but as he was born at Dawn, He was given that name by his family and friends, Don. And during the service, we refer to him today as Don, for everybody here, I'm sure, knew him as Don. In his family, he had one sister, Frances, who's with us also today. Don grew up and he went to school at Keady and grew up there on the family farm. And he was a man who loved farming. He had a great interest in the farming community, a great interest in livestock. And also another interest was gardening. The family would say he would seldom ever could have passed by a garden centre whatever without going in and getting something and bringing it home to his greenhouses and glasshouses at home. He loved the things of creation and nature around him. Don was to suffer the sad loss of his mother in 1958 when he was just 22 years of age. His father later passed away in the year 1987. And in the good providence of God, he met with Miss Margaret Willis. And they were married on the 16th of November, 1967, in Clare Presbyterian Church. And they set up home at Drumlarg and worked together on the family farm. And God blessed their marriage with three children, Derek and Carol and Ruth. And you know, Don was a devoted husband. Was a devoted father, and in recent times, a devoted grandfather. He was very much a family man, a man who loved and cherished his family very dearly. And you could see that very much in the family over these times. And that love has been reciprocated by the family in their devoted care and love and attention to Don during his recent illness. We can also say today that Don was a good neighbour, and one who was widely respected by the entire community. And I think the amount of people here today bears testimony to that fact, that he was such a good neighbour. And until recent times, Don was very much an active man, and he was blessed with relatively good health. But just over a month ago, he was diagnosed with cancer. And with that diagnosis, his family cared for him with great devotion, great love and attention and diligence in their home at Drumlarg morning and evening. However, in the early hours of Sunday morning past, he had to be admitted to Craigavon Hospital. He was critically ill. And then just early on Monday morning, he passed away to be with the Lord, just at dawn. It's interesting to note that he was born at dawn and he passed away from this scene of time just at the dawn of the day. And friends, at the time of Don's diagnosis, I met with him in hospital and I spoke to him there and asked him some very important questions, personal questions, we might say. I asked him, Don, are you saved through faith in Christ as your Savior? Are you ready to die or are you ready to meet God? And in the hospital bed, he spoke to me and he assured me of his faith in Christ for salvation. He assured me that he was not afraid to die, and that he was ready to meet God, meet his Maker. And the reason why Don had this wonderful assurance and the onslaught of facing sad news was because many years ago, as a young man, he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. Living the Christian life, he taught his own family right from wrong. He was a man who was faithful in the worship of God at God's house each Lord's Day. And certainly as a congregation here in Market Hill, his presence will be deeply missed from our services. And if possible, he was a man who loved to support gospel meetings and gospel missions across the countryside, wherever they were held, wherever God's word was faithfully preached and proclaimed. He loved to go along and support those gospel meetings. He was a father who realized his responsibility also as a father and brought his children from the earliest of days in under the sound of the gospel at different gospel meetings. And had the wonderful privilege and joy of seeing his children being saved and coming to saving faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. And my Monday morning, it was the Lord himself who called Dawn home to the glory of heaven. Yes, we sorrow today, and rightly so, at the loss of a husband, a father, a father-in-law, a grandfather, a brother-in-law, an uncle, a neighbour and a friend. Praise God, today we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. From departing from this scene of time, we can say that all Don's battles and trials and pains of life, they're now over for him. They're now past. And the soul has gone to heaven. As the Word of God assures us, he has gone to be with Christ, which is far better. And now, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, and he is coming again, in power and in great glory, his body will rise from the grave immortal, incorruptible, and be reunited with his soul in heaven. By the great promise of Christ to all who trust him as Savior is this: I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, and yet shall he live. And we're going to turn this morning just to the first hymn in our order of service. The Lord's my shepherd, I not want. He makes me lie in green pastures. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust in you alone. And I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercies follow me. Your goodness will lead me home. We'll stand to sing the first hymn in the order of service as the organist and pianist would lead us. Glad to have with us to share in our service today the Reverend David Crean, a minister of our church in Lurgan, and also uncle to Leslie, Ruth's husband. And we're going to ask the Reverend David Crean now just to come and to lead us to the Lord in prayer. And we thank him for coming today and sharing with us in the service. Lord bless you.
Just before I pray, could I join with the Reverend Porter in extending our sympathy to the Waddell family, to Dawn's wife, Margaret, and also to the children, Derek, Carl, and Ruth and Leslie, and also the grandchildren, Hannah and Bethany. And then, of course, there's the wider family circle, and all of you are in our thoughts and prayers today. And on behalf of the church family in Lurgan and my own family, I extend to you who are here in mourning today our deepest sympathy and offer our condolences at this time. Let's bow together in prayer, please. Our Father and our God, we come to thee with thanksgiving for all that thy presence means to us at this time. We thank thee that we can bow before thee in the name of thy dear Son and claim thy presence at an hour such as this. We thank thee for thy nearness, the nearness of the Holy Spirit himself, the comforter of all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank thee that thou art indeed the Father of mercies, and that thou art still the God of all comfort. O God, thou art our refuge and our strength in times of necessity, in times of stress, and in times of grief. We turn to thee this day, and we pray for grace and strength to be given to all the members of the family here in mourning this day. We commit them to thy loving care, and we pray that thou would comfort them with thy presence and with thy power. We pray also that the grace of God will prove to be more than sufficient for them. Let thy strength be made perfect even in their weakness. May they find the meaning again, even to a greater depth than ever before, the words of thy servant when he said, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." And O God, we pray that today they might know the strength of those arms round about and underneath. We pray for each dear one in the family, that they may be given help to lean on thee. We pray for Mrs. Waddell, Margaret Dawn's wife. Lord, be unto her today all that she needs, and comfort her in Zion, and surround her with thine everlasting love. We pray for Derek, and for Carl, and for Ruth, and for Leslie. And we pray for the grandchildren, even Hannah and Bethany. And Lord, we pray for all the other members of the family circle and the wider circle also. And we commend them to the God of all grace and of all comfort. We pray that thy hand will be notably upon them and draw them unto thyself for that comfort which thou alone canst give. May they find their consolation in thee, for thou hast given us so much comfort in thy word and so many wonderful promises, which just now we value so much. Lord, thou hast assured us that when we pass through the rivers, thou wilt be with us. When we pass through the waters, they shall not overflow us. When we walk through the fire, we shall not be burned. Oh, grant that each dear one in the family this day will discover that the Lord not only has kept his word, he has gone and done more than ever before. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt do for them all that they need at this time. We thank thee for thy saving grace. We thank thee for the peace of God. We thank thee, O God, that even in the loneliness of the valley, thou art there. Thou hast promised, Lord, to shepherdize thy children across the valley of death, even the river of death, into thine immediate presence. And we thank thee, O God, that on Monday morning thou didst shepherdize dawn across the river into thy presence. And we thank thee that he's with the Lord today. In thy presence there's fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. O God, we praise thee for that day when grace triumphed in his life, when he was saved by the power of God, when he passed from death unto life, and he became a member of thy family. And O God, we rejoice today that he's with thee in the glory. Lord, we thank thee he has gone straight to heaven, and that he's rejoicing in thy presence. We bless thee, our Father, for the blessed assurance that thy word offers us, that they who die in the Lord are with thee forevermore. The souls of believers are at their death, made perfect in holiness, and do immediately pass into glory, their bodies being still united to Christ, do rest in the grave until the resurrection. And our Father, we do thank thee for all that thou didst do for Don, and for the way thou didst keep him. Thank thee for enabling him to go through this past month or number of weeks in sickness, for bearing him up and giving the strength and courage that was needed for such a time. O God, we ask thee today to help us to take the book of God, and that our eyes might be fastened upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he is the Saviour of sinners, and he's the Saviour even for such a time as this. O Lord, hear this our prayer today. Undertake for all who take part in the meeting. Bless thy servant who will preach the word. Give us a hearing ear and an understanding heart. Make us all to be wise in the day of opportunity, that we might seek the Lord while he is to be found, and to call upon him while he is near. Thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, who came into the world to save sinners. And on the cross of Calvary, he laid down his life, a ransom for us. And so help thy servant to preach Christ, and may our eyes be turned upon him. May thy presence and thy nearness be real to us. All of this we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Saviour and our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
Well, we do thank our brother for leading us to the Lord's throne of grace and prayer. We're also glad to have with us to share in the service this day as well, Reverend Robert Crane, another uncle of Leslie. And we're going to ask him now to come and to read to us from the Word of God. Thank you.
Before we approach the reading of God's Word, the Holy Scriptures, let me convey to the Waddell family the good wishes, the prayers and the sympathy of my colleagues, the management board of Urban Divinity Ministries, and indeed from the student body of Covenant School of Theology. We assure them of our prayers, and we pray that God will be with them and bless them in these days and in the days that lie ahead. I had the privilege of visiting the family home last afternoon, and we had a time of worship there, and it was great to meet around the Word of God and to pray in the name of our Saviour. Let us turn now to the Word of God. As we read, first of all, I'm going to read three short portions of Scripture. The 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23 in the Book of Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Turning to the New Testament, we read in John's Gospel, first of all, just one verse in chapter 1, and it's verse 12. And as many as received him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And then going on to chapter 14, a few verses at the beginning of this chapter. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then lastly, a few verses from chapter 21 in the book of the Revelation. It's good to hear the rustle of the pages and to follow the reading of God's word. Chapter 21, Revelation, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. May God bless the readings of his word to all our hearts. Amen.
I do thank our brother for reading to us there from the word of God, and may God richly bless his word to all our hearts today. Now we're going to turn to the second hymn in our order of service. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. The second hymn in our order of service will stand again as we sing, as the organist and pianist would lead us in our praise of the Lord.
Thank you.
seated. Now in this life, Mr. Don Waddell had many special and important relationships. He was a faithful and loving husband to Margaret for just over some 44 years. He was a devoted father to his children, a devoted grandfather to his grandchildren. He was a caring brother, a good neighbour, and indeed a friend to many in this scene of time. But people, the most important relationship of all in his life was that of being a child of God. And we read of that wonderful relationship in the verse that has already been read for us this day, in verse 12 of John's Gospel, chapter 1. Let me just read that verse with you again. It says, "But as many as received him," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "to him give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now prior to this verse, John tells us of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world, this scene of time, to be the Saviour of sinners. Sadly, tells us of those in this chapter who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Saviour. But he also tells us of those who had accepted Christ, who had trusted Christ to be their Saviour. Those who trusted Christ as their Saviour in verse 12 are described here as the sons of God, or if you like, the children of God. Grieving family and friends and neighbours, all who have come today, let me say this. To be called a child of God is the greatest of all privileges that you and I can know and enjoy in the scene of time. It is the most important of all relationships that any one of us could ever have in this life. Why do we say that? Well, for the child of God is one who has prepared for death for an occasion such as this. The child of God is one who has prepared for eternity. They have prepared for heaven. They have prepared for meeting God. And why is this relationship is so important? Then on an occasion like today, it behoves every one of us in this gathering, family and friends alike, to know how we can become a child of God. That how we too can have this wonderful assurance of being known as a child of God. We're living in an age of financial recession. I'm sure if I were to tell you how you could become related maybe to some millionaire or some billionaire to pay your bills day by day, I'm sure you'd listen with eager attention and with bated breath. Well, friends, to become a child of God is something that is far better. Far better for this scene of time. And far better for the life which is to come. Therefore, this morning, as a little while, as we consider these great words of John 1 and verse 12, I want each one of us just to think in this funeral service today of this most important and most blessed of all relationships, that of being a child of God. Our brother Don was a child of God. Let me ask you personally and individually in this gathering today, are you a child of God? First of all, I want you to think about the blessings of being a child of God. This verse says, "But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And that verse there speaks of those who are the sons of God, or are the children of God. And this is a relationship of immense blessing. The psalmist says, "Happy is the people whose God is the Lord." And that word "happy" literally means blessed. The hymn writer, speaking of this great relationship in her own life, could say, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Whenever the Apostle Paul was writing to the Christians in the city of Ephesus, those who were the children of God, he reminded them at the opening of that great book of the blessings of the Christian life. And he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ." Paul was taken up with the blessings of being a child of God. We might ask, what are those blessings? Well, every child of God has the blessing of being secure in God's hand. You see, God is one who keeps his children unto eternal salvation. None who are saved will ever be lost. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse 5, Peter there speaks of the Christian and he says this, that we are kept, he says, by the power of God through faith unto salvation. The child of God has the promise of having their needs supplied. Paul writing to the Christians in Philippi could say, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Every child of God is a wonderful blessing of knowing all their sins forgiven. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The child of God is the wonderful promise of the Lord's abiding presence in their life. The Lord's promise to each of his children is, "For I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now, the child of God has the wonderful blessing of having peace with God, peace with his Maker, being reconciled with God. The Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The enmity, the war between them and God is over. The child of God has the wonderful blessing of having the peace of God in the storms of life and in the trials of life. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that have been read to us this morning, shortly before he was to be crucified, to the disciples. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Think of the words of the hymn writer this morning. After he lost his business, and after he lost his children, he still knew the peace of God that passed of all understanding. And he could say, "When peace like a river attendeth my way." What a blessing. Also, every child of God has promised grace. Grace to live for God's honor and glory in their life in this scene of time. You think of what the Bible tells us about Noah. Way at the beginning of time, the Bible says this, "And Noah walked with God." He lives for God's honor and glory. And what was the secret? The secret was God's grace in his life. The Bible speaks of Noah and it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You see, the Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And then ultimately, every child of God has the blessing of being saved from a lost eternity in hell itself. And instead, they are saved unto eternal life in heaven. They have the wonderful assurance of everlasting life and the glory of God's heaven. You remember the words of the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Corinth. In the time of trial, he reminded them of heaven. And this is what he said to them. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." What a prize that lies before every child of God. Eternal glory in heaven with Christ, which is far better. Grieving family and friends, let me say to you today, these are some of the tremendous blessings of being a child of God. Yes, these are blessings that are afforded by God to all of his children, whom he has saved by his grace, whom he has redeemed by his blood, who are born again of his Holy Spirit. As the hymn writer says, "These are blessings. My more than riches are gold, can never buy. Yes, the blessings of being a child of God. Tell me today, have you the assurance of those blessings in your hearts and your souls as you sit in this funeral service of thanksgiving today? But secondly, today I want you to think about the way to becoming a child of God. Yes, the way even to inheriting these great blessings. How do we become a child of God? Well, in answering that question, we must say today that not everyone in this life is a child of God. Yes, we're all God's creation, every one of us. We're all created by God. But we are not all the children of God. The Word of God makes that very clear. You think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, in verse 44. There he was speaking to the Pharisees, people who were outwardly religious, yet in their heart rejected Christ. No time for the Lord or the Gospel. And this is what Jesus said to them. He said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father will you do." There in those words, the Lord makes it very plain that all are not the children of God. People, let me be faithful to you today. None of us are born into this world, the preacher included, as God's children. The Bible makes it very clear that we're all born into this world, sinners by nature and sinners by practice. The Bible makes it clear that you and I are born into this world separated from God, condemned to a lost eternity and hell itself, all because of our own sin by nature and our sin by practice. You see, the Bible says, "For there is none righteous, no, not one." It says, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible says, "In our sin we are condemned already." Paul, writing to the Christians in the city of Rome, said, "For the wages of sin is death." And he's speaking there of that separation between the sinner and God, separated unto a lost eternity and hell itself because of their sin. Oh, dear friends, today, if you and I are to become a child of God, and you and I each have a responsibility to heed God's word, and to heed the gospel message of God's word, as we find it even here in our verse for today in John 1, verse 12. If you look at that verse says that if you and I are to become a child of God, we must receive Christ by faith alone, as our Lord and personal Savior. Look at what the verse again says. It says, "But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now, if you were to receive some physician to be your doctor, you would trust that physician, that doctor, with the entire care of your health. You would trust him with the care of all your health. Well, friend, if you are to become a child of God by receiving Christ, you must trust him with all your heart to be your own and personal Savior. Think of the tremendous words of Paul in Romans chapter 10 and the verse 9. He says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, for you and I to receive Christ by faith as our Savior, we must trust him as the one who's paid the penalty of all our sin upon the cross of Calvary when he suffered, bled and died. The Bible speaks of Christ and it says, "But this man offered one sacrifice for sins forever." Oh yes, to become a child of God, you must accept Christ's sacrifice alone as the only sufficient payment to God for the debt of all your sin. Let me make it clear to each one this day that nowhere in the Bible does it say that our good works can make us a child of God. Nowhere does it say in the Bible that our money, no matter how much we have, can make us children of God. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that religious ceremony or baptism can atone for our sins. Oh friends, this day the only thing that can atone for your sin and my sin is the precious sinless blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as shed as a sacrifice for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says without shedding of blood there's no remission. In other words, without the blood of Christ applied by faith to our hearts, our sins can never be forgiven. Remember what Paul said to the Christians in Ephesus, speaking again of what Christ had done for them. He said, "Of Christ in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." How was Paul, the chief of sinners, saved and cleansed from all his sins? It was by faith in the atoning blood of Christ, the blessed Son of God, the blessed Lamb of God. You think today of the tremendous truth of the hymn writer. They ask the question, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh friend, in realizing Christ to be your only sufficient remedy for sin, what must you do to become a child of God? Yes, you must come to Him by faith. Come to Christ alone by faith and confess your sins to Him. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And confessing your sins to Him, simply call upon Him in faith to save your soul, to make you His child, and to fit you for heaven. What's the great promise of the gospel today? It says this, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." In life you may have called upon people to help you. Maybe when you're a child you called upon mommy or daddy to help you. Maybe you've been out in the workplace, you've called upon a friend to help you. Maybe you've been sick, you've been called maybe on a nurse or a doctor to help you. But tell me today, have you ever called upon Christ? The Son of God who left heaven's glory, He come down into this world, who died upon the cross and rose again. Have you ever lifted up your heart in prayer to the Lord and asked the Lord to save your soul, to make you His child? Well, friends, that is how you and I become a child of God. The blessings of the child of God, the way to become a child of God. But one final thought just from this verse I want to leave with you, and that is simply this: the person who can become a child of God. Our verse says, "But as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." If you look at that verse, it really speaks of no specific group of people. It speaks of no religious group of people. It speaks of no, as it were, certain category or color or creed of people is mentioned. They're not mentioned. And the inference says here that anyone who desires, anyone who wills, can become a child of God. Does not the Bible say, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life"? How wide, how embracing is that word, whosoever? Friend, in this service of thanksgiving today, you may be here. You may be a scholar, so to speak. On the other hand, you may have little of earth's education. You may be a good, upright neighbor in this community, or maybe you're living down in the very depths of sin. You may be rich today. You may have plenty of estate and wealth. On the other hand, you may be poor, you may own very little of what this world has to offer. You may be very religious and devout in your attendance to your church or your creed. On the other hand, you may be non-religious. Well, friend, I want to say today, whatever your background is today, whoever you are in this service, whatever your color, your creed or your class may be, so to speak, the great hope and the great truth of the gospel is this: the moment you confess your sin to Christ as a penitent sinner and trust in Christ as your own and personal Savior, Praise God, you shall be saved. Praise God, you shall become a child of God. You shall receive the wonderful gift of eternal life. And God's so great salvation. That's the promise of our verse today. It says, but as many as received Him, to them give He the power or the right or the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name. What a promise there is here. Think again of what the Lord Jesus Christ Himself says in John's Gospel, chapter 10, and the verse 9. What could be more sure, more clear? Jesus says, I am the door. Speaking of the way to heaven, the doorway to heaven. And He says, I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Think of those words. He shall be saved. That speaks of the assurance of God's salvation. Think again of the tremendous words of Christ that you find in verse 37 of John's Gospel, chapter 6. He says there, all that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me. And He gives us this great promise. He says, and him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. People, the words of men can come and go. But I tell you this, you can depend your soul, your life, your eternal well-being upon the good words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, think of the testimony of old Horatius Bonner. He said this of Christ. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in Him a resting place, and He has made me glad. Tell me, have you made Christ that eternal resting place for your soul? Are you here in this gathering this day, and is the burden of your heart, is it the burden of your soul today to become a child of God? Is that the burden of your soul today? Are you longing here in your heart of hearts to know peace with God, your Maker? Is the burden of your soul today to know the forgiveness of all of your sins? Do you long to be saved from hell's judgment for sin and to be sure of heaven? To be ready to die and to be ready for eternity, sure of God's glory. Friend, if that's the burden of your soul today, then we would urge you, we would plead with you to receive Christ. Receive Him by faith alone this day. Lift up your heart in prayer to God in this meeting. Ask the Lord to save your soul. Cry out like the publican of old, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, follow the example of Mr. Don Waddell, who many years ago realized his need as a sinner, put his faith and his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. Oh, do not reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather, receive Him and trust Him alone to be your Savior. Old Pontius Pilate asked the question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Oh, as you think upon Christ today, the Savior of sinners, the Son of God, the lovely, sinless Son of God who came down from heaven, who went to the cross, who died there on the cross for our sins. Oh, that if you're not saved today, not ready for heaven, that you would receive Him personally. Come to Him by faith. Know the wonderful joy and assurance of your sins all forgiven. There's nothing more important this side of eternity than for you to know Christ as your Savior. For you to be assured that all is well with your soul. And that you're ready for heaven. Think of those tremendous words of Christ. At the end of that passage that was read for us earlier. In John 14 verse 6. He says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. If you're to come unto God the Father, if you're to come into His family, into His kingdom, into His fold, you must come through the Lord Jesus Christ by faith alone, who is the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless His word today to every heart and every soul for Jesus' sake. We're just going to bow together in a short word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us in this service of thanksgiving today. Lord, we thank Thee for the singing of the hymns, for the reading of Thy word, for the offering of prayer. We thank Thee for the light of Thy word and the light of Thy truth. We pray, O God, today that the light of Thy word and Thy truth will shine deeply into every heart and every soul in this gathering. And Lord, we thank Thee, Lord, that we can become the children of God through faith in Christ. We thank Thee, Lord, for everyone in this gathering that has that assurance within their heart, that can say today that it is well with their soul, that Christ is their Redeemer, their Savior. But Lord, we pray for any today, be they family members, friends, relatives, neighbors. And they knew and loved Don Waddell as a friend, as a neighbor, as a relative, yet they don't know his Savior. Lord, our prayer is that even today they will come by faith to Christ and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. We thank Thee, O God, that none shall ever be turned away who come to Christ, who look to Him, who seek Him for their soul's salvation. Lord, our prayer is that Thou wilt just bless the family today. Lord, we thank Thee for grace and help that has been given over these days and over these weeks. We commit them afresh to Thee today. Lord, bless Margaret. Be unto her all that she needs and requires. We thank Thee that Thou said in Thy word to Thy grieving children that Thine Maker is Thine husband. We pray that Thou would be a husband unto our sister, we ask. We pray for her family, that Thou wilt bless them and that Thou wilt strengthen them. Again, Lord, You have promised to be a father to the fatherless. We pray, O Lord, that Thou wilt be a father to Derek and to Carol and to Ruth and to Leslie and to Hannah and to Bethany. We pray for Francis and David. We pray for Billy. We pray for the entire family circle, all who knew and loved Dawn this day. Just pray, Lord, that Thou wilt put Thy loving arms round about them, that Thou wilt strengthen them and uphold them through the remainder of this day. And Lord, we just pray when they long for the touch of the hand that is still and long for the sound of the voice that is silent. We pray that they will know the touch of the nail-scarred hand of Christ, that they will know the sweet and the still small voice of God in their heart and in their soul, saying, "This is the way, walk ye therein." Lord, undertake for them. Bless them, Lord, in the remaining part of the service. And again, Lord, bless us in our fellowship together. Again, we thank Thee for the good things that have been prepared, and bless the hands that have prepared them. And then later on, Lord, as we make our way from the church here up to the graveyard, we pray that Thou wilt journey with us. We think, O Lord, of how the Savior drew near to the two in the road to Emmaus in their time of sorrow and went with them. We pray that Thou wilt draw very near and journey along with the family along the way, that even in the midst of their sorrow and heartbreak, they'll be able to say, "Did not our hearts burn within us when Jesus Himself drew near and talked with us by the way?" Meet the need of every heart. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that each and every soul in this meeting will be able to say in the day of all days when Christ comes again, that "I'm saved and I'm ready for heaven, that I'm washed and cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, and that I am a child of God." Oh Lord, we thank that salvation is real, that it is eternal, that it is a lasting. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thy so great salvation was purchased for us in full by the shed blood and sacrifice of our dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, hear in heaven this day and answer prayer, for we ask it all for the Savior's sake and for Thine eternal glory. Amen and amen. We're going to just turn now to the final hymn in our order of service. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. We'll stand as we sing this hymn as the pianist and organist would lead us. And can I say that immediately after the singing of this hymn, just remain standing. We'll have the benediction. And then the men will carry the coffin out to the hearse just outside the church. But they'll be coming back in again to sit beside the rest of the family. And we would encourage you all to stay then. for the foodstuff and refreshments that have been provided by the ladies of the congregation. And just do take time to meet with the family for that hour or so and encourage them by your fellowship and by your friendship with them at this time. So do please just remain in your seats after the coffin leaves until the food is served. So do remember that, please. Thank you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Ghost rest and remain and abide with all this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.